He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
His presence, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Let your presence so fill this place. Let your presence so fill this temple. Let me speak as of the oracles of God, not out of my own heart and of my own mind, but out of the abundance of the heart that flows from a heart that is connected to you. Spirit of God, you are the teacher. You are the counselor. You are the one who leads us into all truth. This morning, manifest yourself and manifest the glory of the Father. And let our meeting here not be in vain, but let the will of God be established. Let the purposes of God be established. And let the purposes of wickedness be destroyed. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for mercy. For it's not he that willeth, nor he that runneth, but you who show mercy. Let your mercy be towards this vessel. And let your word come in power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The lady, her lover, and her Lord. Now, these three encapsulate basically the life of a woman. The lady is you yourself. And then your lover is whoever you'll be in a relationship with. Or you are in a relationship with yesterday, today, or forever. And then the Lord, of course, is the one on which everything stands, everything revolves around him. And I always say that when you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to so many things. You say yes to a life of peace. You say yes to abundant life. You say yes to miracles. You say yes to a power greater than yourself. You say yes to the choice of a future. You say yes to an expected end, because the Bible says that he is able to bring us to the expected end. So when you choose Jesus, you have actually chosen a whole package, but you don't even know that. Amen. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 1 that a false balance is an abomination unto God, a false balance. And therefore,
I think that as ladies or as women or as the youth, we should be balanced in every aspect of our lives. When you read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays a prayer and he says that you be sanctified wholly in spirit, in soul, and in body. So even our human existence is in three forms. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. In the same way, a lady will have her own life, and then she would have a relationship, and then she would have her Lord. Although it comes in the lady, her lover, and her Lord, really, it is not in order of importance, because the most important is the Lord. Amen. And if we don't build on the Lord, then I don't know what we are building on. So even though I may tackle the lady first, it's not in order of priority. I hope you understand that. For the Bible says that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto us. Amen. Amen. Now, you say the lady or the woman. Now, women have something called influence. We are not saying it because we want it. And we are not saying it because we want to confess it to happen. But we are saying it because it's God who made us that way. So when you look in the Bible, with all due respect to our brothers, when Adam was created, God said everything was good. He created the light, he said it was good. He created the birds of the air, he said it was good. He created the fish, he said it was good. He created Adam, he said it was good. But after Adam was there, he saw that it was not good. The only not good was the absence of a woman. And God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. It is not a man who saw his problem. It's God who saw a man's problem. That's why sometimes you brothers, instead of settling down, you are hopping from one flower to another. You may not see your problem, but Jehovah sees that it is not good that you should be alone. And he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I will create for him another man. Because that's what is happening in the world today. He didn't create Steve for Adam. He created Eve. Amen. Amen. And it was God's idea. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Therefore, I will create a helpmeet. There were animals. He could have said, okay, the dog, become more domesticated so that you can flow with a woman and you can. But God said, no, the dog is not a helpmeet. The cat is not a helpmeet. The fowls of the air are not helpmeet. I will make for you a woman. And God put the man to sleep so that he will not interfere with his creation. God needed maximum concentration. And God created a woman. The Bible says that he brought her to man. When the man woke up, he said, wow, man, woman. Amen. And he said, she shall be called woman, for she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So for God, the coming of the woman sealed his creation. So even though we were the last to come, we were the best to come. Yeah. Amen, ladies. And when we came, God then did not say that anything was not good again. It was when we hadn't come. You see, our absence made creation incomplete. But when we came, then God never said it's not good. When we came, God said, my problems are solved. So that notion in life that fear woman, problems are from women, and all that, you know? I think that it came after the fall. And after the fall, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, to reconcile us back unto God. But when Adam was made, the Bible says that God put him to sleep and took a rib from him and created woman. So man was made directly from the soil. I didn't say it. The Bible said. But woman was made from the man. So a woman, with all due respect, is a refined species of God's creation. You see? And therefore, God comes in the New Testament and says, dwell with them according to knowledge. You see, he didn't say that about the man. He said that if you want to be with a woman, go to the school of womanology. Amen. So he said in 1 Peter 3, dwell with them according to knowledge. And what is happening is that the men of this generation are not studying women or acquiring knowledge. Because when he says dwell with them according to knowledge, knowledge is something you have to acquire. And to acquire knowledge, you give time, you give energy, you give sacrifice in order to acquire knowledge and to understand. I mean, if you go to a higher institution of learning, you say, okay, I want to be an attorney, I want to be a lawyer. You don't become a lawyer by osmosis. You have to gain some knowledge. Amen? Amen? And in my time, I don't know now what they are doing, but after A level, you had to make a certain grade to be able to be admitted to the law faculty. After you were admitted to the law faculty, the first university exam in the law faculty, you had to be in the first 40 in the whole Ghana to be allowed to do LLB law. Do you see? And I always used to pray, oh God, help me to make it to the first 40. I don't mind even if I'm 39th. I just want to make it to the first 40. Because I don't think that naturally I am so ambitious. I always say that I studied because I didn't want to be embarrassed, not because I wanted anything. But anyway, the grace of God abounded. But you couldn't practice law or handle the law or appear in court without acquiring knowledge. Even the court procedure, you have to acquire knowledge. And even before you come and stand in the court, you have to acquire knowledge as to criminal procedure. When it's a criminal case, what is the procedure? You don't just come to court and say, yes, I have a case. And no, no. You have to do committal proceedings first in a lower court, if it's murder. Before it will even come up, you have to know how to draft a charge sheet. It was compulsory question, answer, question mark, 40 marks. You see, so you have to acquire knowledge before you even practice as a lawyer. But when you come and stand in the court, the lay people don't know all that has gone on. The papers that have been filed, if it's a civil case, the pleadings. If you've been listening to the petition, I haven't listened much. I've listened only once, but the first time I listened was the opening things with all the technicalities, and I was sitting in my room alone. And when I heard all the arguments, and all, I just stood up and I clapped on my own. I said, oh, what brilliance, you know? But anyway, you have to acquire that knowledge before you even come and stand in court, handle the case and all that. In the same way, to live with a woman. And it took us sleepless nights to learn, to acquire knowledge, so that we could use it in life. Amen. Some of the books were like this. You know, so whenever people ask me my church, hey, Reverend, I want to read law. What are the requirements? I say, do you like reading? Because when I see a book this much, I'm very excited. My heart is beating. One of my favorite places is bookshops. I want to get into the books. And my greatest regret in life sometimes is when I see a whole lot of books I want to read and I don't know how to run through them. Do you see? But some science students are not like that. When they see a book, they say, all these words, for what? Do you see? But it takes sacrifice, giving of yourself, sleepless nights, discussion groups, tutorials, assignments to gain knowledge. And so when you want to live with a woman, the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. It doesn't come easy. It's going to take you something. But we don't want to do that. You know, and we just say, oh, women are complex. It is true, we are complex. It means that we don't even understand ourselves. It's that we even cry, we don't know why we are crying. We understand all that. But you need to dwell with us according to knowledge. Amen. Amen. I believe that is solely for the brothers. But the lady must also know herself. And she must also know who she is. Who am I? Even Jesus, the Son of God, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? The disciples said, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are one of the prophets. Other people say different things. Then he said, but you, who do you say that I am? You know? So let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew is in the New Testament. Some of you don't know the books of the Bible. All that you know is where to do weave on for 8 hours, where to do your hair for 8 hours. But you will never spend 8 hours in the Word of God. You will never spend 8 hours in the presence of God. But when life really comes knocking at your door, it's not how Brazilian your hair is. Amen, ladies? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. Now Jesus asked his disciples a very salient question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus knew who he was. But he still asked the disciples, what men say I am? Because he wanted to know what the disciples thought he was after walking with him for so many years. But in posing the question, he also emphasized who he was. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he describes himself, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. But who do people say that I am? So he was not asking, who do people say that I am, to establish his identity. He had already established his identity in Christ, in God, and in his relationship with God. And then when the disciples answered, they say, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are even Jeremiah. And some say you are one of the prophets. If you as a woman want other people to give you your identity and to tell you who you really are, you will always be confused. Because some will say you are John the Baptist. Some will say you are Elijah. Some will say you are Jeremiah. And some will say you are one of the prophets. But you must know in Christ, who are you? Amen? Amen? Some will describe you with your past. You see, in the Bible, so many people are described in their past situations because man never wants to move away from what you were in the past, from your mistakes, from your problems, and from your failures. That is why the prodigal son, even though he came home, up to today, you and I call him the prodigal son. The woman with the issue of blood, even though she was healed, we still call her the woman with the issue of blood. Blind Bartimaeus, even though he was healed up to 2,000 years and more, we still call him blind Bartimaeus. Because as human beings never move away from your issues. And you cannot find your identity in the description of somebody. Because sometimes, even out of sheer envy and jealousy, people will not describe you the right way. Amen? And so we as ladies have to look into the mirror of the word. James 1 says that he who looks into the mirror of the word, 22 to 23, and forgets himself. It's like somebody who reads the Bible and does not do it or forgets what he looks like. So your mirror as a lady is the word of God. Not your mistakes. Not your failures. Not your past. I have ministered to many women who have had very wild pasts and they cannot get past that. Christ has cleansed them. Christ has redeemed them. The Bible says, your sins I will remember no more, but they remember forever. And they see themselves as the world sees them. Because in the world, even when Christ has saved you, they will say, is Saul also among the prophets? Hey, since when did you also start being so Christian, but you were in this neighborhood with you? And even Jesus, they said that we know his father, we know his mother, we know his brother and his sisters, Joseph, we know all of them. How can he now rise up and say he's a prophet? You cannot take your identity from the community around you. Some of you, even the homes you have grown up in, the things that you have been told. You know, one of our bishops, he's a guy, and he was telling me that when his relatives come to his house, and they are calling the son hasn't done anything. Then they say, hey, babie, they just want a glass of water. And they say, or whatever. Oh, you chogbonyo, the child hasn't done anything. The child hasn't done anything. Oh, you chogbonyo, you are insulting the child. And some of us, some of the comments we have heard at home, some of the comments we have heard from our teachers, some of the comments we have heard from our peer groups have influenced us. And we have taken it in, hook, line, and sinker. We have swallowed it. He said, this is who I am. And that is what I am. Some of you are not even confident about yourselves because you were told that, oh, Buele, obey hips, Christ. Hey, I'm disfigured. I'm not correct. I'm not whole. You know? And maybe you were told, oh, you chose die. You say, hey, that's for me. My head is big. So your head may be big, but it's because your brain is also big. Amen. My husband tells me that the head of birds is very small because their brain is very tiny. When you look at the head of a bird, it's very tiny. And he always says that, why is it that in Ghana, when people have their children, you know, they say there's a hole here, and then they start to use hot water to make it seal or come together. And he's saying that God made it that way because our brain as a child is not yet developed. So it will close naturally after your brain has developed. And we in Africa, we are pressing it together before it can even develop. So sometimes, even if your head is big, it's a blessing. Amen. And nobody can be perfect. Amen. But we look into the mirror of people's comments. We look into the mirror of people's ideas. And sometimes people's ideas are born out of envy, jealousy, competition. They say all sorts of things. And then you say, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm what people are saying. Now I'm asking you this morning, who are you? Woman, who are you? The lady, who are you? We must define ourselves in the eyes of God. If Jesus had followed what people said about him, he would never have accomplished his ministry. Amen. Amen. When my husband started Lighthouse Chapel as a student, many were they who said that God does not use professionals. God, he does not use professionals. And many churches in town said that if you're a doctor, be a doctor. If you're a lawyer, be a lawyer. But don't venture into the things of God. And if that was what was guiding him, he would not have obeyed God. And sister, when I look back, hey. So when you don't obey God, sometimes you don't live to see the consequences. But whatever was in his womb had to come forth. And if he had listened to the voices of men, it would not have happened. Amen. And so you cannot listen to people to inform you about who you are. You have to go into God's word and see who you are. He says in Jeremiah 1, before you were a clot of blood in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you. And I ordained you. Amen? Amen. Let's read it. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Otherwise, some of you will say Lady Reverend is preaching her own ideas. Are we there? Please, Jeremiah is not in the New Testament. It's just around here. Yeah. Verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then Jeremiah responds and says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Amen. God is saying that before your mother and your father met, he knew you. Before you were formed in the belly, he knew you. Amen? Amen. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's his purpose for your life. And I ordained you a prophet. And Jeremiah said, oh, but I'm a child. But God, that's not God's problem, because before you were even a child, he had already ordained you and called you. Amen? But we see ourselves through people, you know. People say, hey, but you too, do you now preach? Ah, but you, we know you. You are the same person. We have hung out with you. We have. But you have to know what God's word says in Romans 8 verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. But sometimes you are left defenseless because you don't know the word. You don't spend time with God. You don't spend time in his presence. You don't have any personal relationship that is rich. All your personal relationships are on the human level. But spiritually, you have no depth. And so when people come with you with those things, you don't know what to say. But Jesus knew who he was. He kept saying who he was. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He said, I'm the good shepherd. You must know who you are in the eyes of the Father. The lady must know who she is, because if she does not know who she is, and she's not confident in who God has made her, and she goes to marry, she's going to bring a lot of problems. Amen?
Amen.
She is going to go with low self-esteem into the marriage, and then blame the husband for everything that goes wrong. When the husband doesn't say, oh, today you look nice. I don't look nice. I don't feel whole as I'm going for this program. He has not said that I look nice. He has not said that you look nice because he doesn't have good taste. He has not said that you look nice because he has become used to you. And some of the men, they only say what is bad, not what is good. Amen. But you cannot wait for somebody to affirm who you are. Psalm 139. As for the Psalms, you all read it when you are in trouble, so. Amen. You put Psalm 35, you don't even read it. You open to there and then you say, Lord, as you see, how wonderful it is to eat the word of God. You have no idea. Verse 14. Okay, let's read from verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book, imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Amen.
Amen.
He says, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Your soul has to know. God may do everything in his power, but your soul has to know who you are. And you have to know who you are in Christ. I don't think that my importance in life should be measured by the profession that I have. I think that being a child of God far outweighs the profession that you have. Amen? For many may have that profession. And many may have even titles. Some of us, we've gone to school, when they write our name, our degrees are more than what is on the thermometer. And our degrees are two sentences. But still, you don't have fulfillment and satisfaction in yourself, because those things can never satisfy. It's only Jesus that can satisfy. It's only the manufacturer who knows how he made the product. And it's only the manufacturer who can fix the product. That is why lately they said that Japanese cars were having problems globally, and in America, except Africa, they recalled all the cars. Who recalled it? The manufacturers. Because they knew that they could put it right. In Africa, they didn't mind us. It's like, wato, wato, just be there. But God is the manufacturer of our lives, and God knows who we are. You know? So by the grace of God, my identity is not in my husband's identity. Of course, it's a blessing to be married to such a great man of God. But my identity is in the Christ who went to the cross and gave his life and saved me and gave me a purpose and formed me in my mother's womb and covered me. So that if at a certain I go to a certain place and nobody knows that you are Mrs. Dagwood, Moses, so my shoulders will just go, no, I'm a child of God, sanctified, blood-bought, redeemed from hell, and with a purpose. And God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully. My confidence is in God. Amen. Some people find their identity in their family background. Amen. Say, hey, where do you, Mr. So-so-and-so, bow, you know? By the grace of God, I think that I had a father who could provide everything. And I had a father who did not lack. And whenever we went to the Methodist Church, You know, even the pews in the church. My father's name is written behind. Do you understand? The pews in the church. And so, even if the church is full, the first two pews there, you know that is for the maidens. Do you understand? And even if we arrive and the pews are full, it didn't matter. Because my father then, oh, those days, he had these folding chairs. So we'll just fold it and we'll, by all means, be put in front of you. They'll just fold and then we'll put it in front of you and we'll sit down. Do you see? And then even from childhood, my mother used to love hats. And so we had, as children, we had a box of hats that you wear. You see, so I grew up thinking that every lady wears hats. That's how it is. Because my mother brought me up that way. Now, many people maybe would define us as, oh, these are Mr. Baden's children. And but when you cross even the borders of Ghana, let's say you go to Korea, they don't know any Mr. Baden, Mr. Baden, but they know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So why should you find that you are this? Some people say, oh, my father is this, and my mother is this. And so what? You, who are you? You. Who are you? But our identity in Christ never changes. My father could have gone broke. Destinies could have changed. Everything is changeable. Even marriage is changeable. Some women say that, oh, I'm not whole till I marry. When you are Mrs. This, then you are really whole. But when you are single, then you are not whole. I have news for you. God puts together two whole people, not two halves. So that is that we say that my better half is not your better, it's your better whole. Two whole people who make one. Amen. Amen. And so if you're a single lady, don't think that, oh, I'm now just biding my time. I'm waiting to live when I marry. No. No. Find your identity in Christ. Find a life as a single lady. Be productive as a single lady. And learn to enjoy your own company. Hey. Some people, they always have to roam from house to house, from house. I thank my God that my mother didn't allow me to roam from house to house. I said, no, you have a lot of things to do in the house. You must sweep, you must clean, you must cook, you must... And it used to really annoy me. Because when my friends come, then she will give them also a knife that help her. Ah! I should be very bored. Let's say I'm cutting onions, then she'll say, oh, you've come, eh? Okay, you to take the knife and help her with the tomatoes. What is that? A visitor has come. She can even give you a broom. Oh, Shelley, prahai, wamami. But that helped me to be used to my own home and to be happy in my own home. Now, some of you, when you are alone, no, you are depressed. When you are alone, no, you are lonely. When you are alone, no, you have very terrible thoughts. God has to deliver you from that. You must enjoy your own company. If you don't enjoy your own company, who is going to enjoy your company? And that makes us put unnecessary pressure on relationships. And we make the men in our lives, God, give me meaning in this life. Give me an identity. Let me feel good about myself. Give me love. Because without your love, I have no love in my life. When Jesus' love is plenty and it never changes. And this man's love is so temperamental. Amen. Amen. We have to find our identity in Christ. So I always tell myself, I am a child of God. And that is more important than being the child of any other person. Amen. Can't you see that celebrities and all those people, their children, they have a lot of problems. Because that can never give you identity or make you whole. It is only Christ that can make you whole. Amen. And it is something that you cultivate as a lady. It is something that you work on. Learn to also have a life for yourself. That will come later when it comes to her lover. But we need to know who we are in Christ. The Bible says in John 5, I believe, that Jesus' brethren did not believe in him. Now, if you are going to depend on your siblings to make you whole, to make you feel confident about yourself, then it's not going to work. Because sometimes your siblings are the ones who don't believe in you at all. But when I go into the Word of God, Philippians 1:6, I believe, say, I am accepted in the Beloved. I don't have to do anything. Even when I was a sinner, Christ died for me. How much more now when I'm born again? It's the relationship. It's not what I've done. So then when I look, I say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Sometimes you hear very painful things. This one said this, this one said this. Then instead of meditating on the word of God, you meditate on what they said, as if it's the word of God. These people are subject to life and death just like you. Why should they rule your life? Why should they be the ones to determine your worth? That, oh, you are 18 carats, you are 10, and you are 24. How can man determine that? Only God can determine that. And we have to meditate on that. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it. How many times? Day and night. Do you know why? Because there's so much negativity in life that unless we meditate day and night, the negativity will take over. Amen, ladies? It is not how much makeup you put that makes you beautiful. The treasure is within. The Bible says, the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is of great price in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. So some of us feel, okay, my identity is what I wear. Many people who wear the wrong things is because they are looking for acceptance, identity. It's a search for something. So me, when I see people dressed some way, the emotion I feel is pity. Do you understand? You have opened your ear, the good of the whole world. Your dress is up to here. Your face is like Akamotobi. You are coming. It's not because you want to be like that, but because you are seeking for acceptance. You are seeking to be noticed. You are seeking to be loved, and you are looking for it in all the wrong places. But if you look at God's love, Romans 8, verse 39, I believe, what shall separate us from the love of God? Even when your father didn't love you, God loved you. When that boy dumped you, love didn't get finished. God's love was still with you. Why do women measure themselves by how men treat them? That boy dumped you. He dumped you because he doesn't appreciate nice things. Amen, ladies. And even some of you, he dumped you as God's blessing to you. God wanted to just bless your future. So he said, this foolish boy, he must go out of your life. Where you cry for days on end. If we don't take care, you will end up in mental hospital. Ooh, akwesi, akwesi. Mary Tree, akwesi na ne brana onwano. Akwesi na nkasa ne brana onwano. And then you have made akwesi the Lord of your life. And when he dumps, you say, I'm not nice. That's why akwesi left me. I'm not worth anything. That's why akwesi left me. But the Bible says you've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. And you have to believe it. Sometimes it's even spouses and what they tell their wives. A lady called me and said that the things my husband is saying about me, they are too bad and it's not true. And I don't talk about his things in public. But he has destroyed me with his mouth. Lady Reverend, I just want to go away. I said, I understand your temptation, but I have not read in the Bible that when they say things about you that are not true, you should go away. I've not seen that. Of course, you should tell him that what he's saying, you don't like, whatever. But don't let that get you down. Dust your feet and say, there's therefore no condemnation. I may make mistakes sometimes. I may not be perfect overnight. But God knows my heart that I'm a godly woman. And God will bring me to that place. I've been bought with a price. I'm priceless. The English word priceless means that the thing is so valuable that you can't put a price on it. Priceless. Invaluable means that it's so valuable that you can't even put a value on it. Invaluable. That's what it means, and that's who you are. Amen. So if you are nobody and you are waiting to marry, or if it is that it is only when you marry that you are somebody, then you are a nobody going to marry another nobody. How can that be? Amen. These are verses I meditate on all the time. When I look, I say, oh, because before I was a clot of blood in my mother's womb, he knew me. And God chose me. Some people may not choose you, but God chose you. And he chose you before the foundations of the earth. And if God chooses you, what does it matter? What does it matter? Amen. Sometimes we cry over things that we should not cry about. Because our identity is not established. And there's a lot of identity fights and crises in us, especially even as women. Men also have their own challenges, just that they are not verbal, so they don't say much. Amen? But the lady must find herself in God. I am not defined by what I do. I'm defined by who I am in Christ. So it is not my doing, it is my being. Acts 17 verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. Your being is in him. Not in your accomplishments, not in your failures, not in the words of men, not in the things you do. The world defines you by what you do. Can't you see that when somebody becomes a star, he's very, very important. When you are young and you can play football like David Beckham, you are very important. Later, when you expire, the world forgets about you. When you are like a baby Pele, you are young, you are playing, they cheer you on. Yeah, that's your identity. You can't live on that. After you can't play anymore, they don't hear Abedi Pele anymore and they don't want to know. How can you base your identity on that? Some people become Miss Ghana 2013. By 2014, you are off the throne. If your identity is Miss Ghana, then your identity ceases after 2014. How can that be? That cannot be your identity. But the Bible says that we were crafted in the lowest parts of the earth. The Lord crafted you. You cannot see yourself by what you do. Oh, I'm a very good singer. That's who I am. It's just your gift. You are greater than that. Amen. Amen. You are greater than the things you do. You are greater than your giftings because you are actually a special creation of God. That is why everybody's thumbprint is different. Everybody. The billions of human beings on this earth, everybody's thumbprint is different. That's how unique you are. But you don't believe it. The creator of eternal life has told you, you don't believe it. And then some 2x4 boy, nanny trousers, rose. He's telling you things and you are crying and you are dying and life is ending. How can that be? And when he's rapping you, he says, lay your troubles on my shoulders. Put your worries in my pocket. Nankasa, no worries, Nankasa. It is more than a sack. And he's telling you to put your worries in this person. Oh, so romantic. You see, we believe lies. Lies. Amen, ladies. But I'm a child of God. I'm bought with a price. I'm accepted in the beloved. Even when I make mistakes, God does not see me through that. He says, your iniquities I will remember no more. He says, I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You have to meditate on it. The word of God is medicine. Amen. The Bible said he sent forth his word to heal us. Some of us, our backgrounds are so broken. Our lives are so broken that except the word of God is sent forth, we shall have no healing and no wholeness. Amen. So we need to find our wholeness in him. Colossians 1, verse 20. I'm soon going to move away from the lady, isn't it? Colossians 1, verse 20. Are we there? Colossians is not a type of drink. Amen? It is a book in the Bible. It's not a type of drink. Colossians chapter 2. Are we there? I think it's verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. And there's a verse in the same Colossians 2 which says that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in the Lord. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in academics. Ye are complete in your looks. Ye are complete in your family background. Ye are complete in what people say about you. Ye are complete in Him. In Him is completion. Amen, ladies? And how you see yourself, in conclusion on the lady, is how people will see you. Amen? Sometimes you see people say, hey, I don't even know what it's about her. But Mr. Confibio Dinam, yes, and it commands confidence from you. Because she comes with confidence. So how you see yourself is how people will see you. Numbers chapter 13, and I'm ending this, the lady on that note. Numbers chapter 13. It's about the Israelites. They've been sent to spy the land. They have come with an evil report that the land eats its inhabitants. If the land ate its inhabitants, how come they lived to come and tell the news? And they are saying that they saw giants and all that. They saw all that, but their God was greater. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. NIV says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. How you see yourself is how others see you. We were in our own eyes, first of all, as grasshoppers, and then we seemed the same to them. If you see yourself as a princess in God, that is how people will see you. And that is why you will naturally carry yourself. If you see yourself as a royal priesthood, that is how people will see you. But if you see yourself as a grasshopper, that is how we will all see you. And we were in our own eyes. Your own eyes. Not your father's eyes. Not your mother's eyes. Not your teacher's eyes. Not even your friend's eyes. Not your boyfriend's eyes. But your own eyes. Your own. You look like a grasshopper. And the Bible says, and so we were to them. You determine. You determine. You are the mirror of yourself. You determine how people will handle you and people will deal with you. And when you are a whole person in Christ and you are coming into a relationship, you are whole because you know who you are in Christ. You are not looking for somebody to tell you who you are. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about accepting the things that God has made you. Amen? And you must learn as a lady to be thankful to God for yourself. Every time you are thanking God for other people. I thank you for Lady Reverend. I thank you for my father. I thank you for me. For the special way in which you made me. I thank you for the fine things of life that I'm able to appreciate. I thank you for the compassionate heart you have given me. Oh God, you have created me. Amen. And as you are thankful to God for who you are and what He has made you, it will make you healthy. So the way you go into a relationship, and the person himself has his kettle of fish and bucket of problems, you are able to see that it's not you. Amen? And also, you don't put too much pressure on the person. It's like telling a rock to give birth. Sometimes the person is not capable of certain things because marriage is made up of two imperfect people. Not two perfect people. Amen? And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were to them. I have preached hours on the identity crisis. Hours. And I've preached on, woman, who are you? So, a lot of extensive teaching, but I cannot speak about everything in this short segment. So I pray that the Lord will expose you to more of His word. Amen. Amen. So how you see yourself is how people will see you. Now, we have to learn to preach to ourselves. The first pulpit you have is yourself. Remember, what you are saying is this scriptural. Yes. The woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she said to herself, if I might but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. So you have to learn to preach to yourself. I have learned to preach to myself. Sometimes when I'm discouraged, I look in the mirror and I say, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Why are you disquieted, oh my soul? And I put my name in the verses. Mommy, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When I'm anxious about the future, I put my name in Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans he has for mommy, he was males. Plans of prosperity and not of disaster. God is bringing me to the expected end. You know, by the grace of God, I cannot be sad for long. When I'm sad, small, something, the word of God, something was, I said, oh, what the heck? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my helper. It's one of my favorites, Hebrews 13. I shall not be afraid. What can man do? Man, I mean, if God be for me, who can be against me? All these verses have told you that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. It's something I meditate on. There's therefore now no condemnation. And God said to me, to them that are in Christ Jesus, you only have to be in Christ Jesus, nothing else. And then there's no condemnation. You are fine. Learn to preach to yourself. Learn to talk to yourself. Some of you talk to yourself about Nomfa. When we were younger, sometimes I would talk to myself. Maybe my brothers are there and then I'm removing cobwebs and I would laugh and say, and they'll say, what? And I say, oh, I remembered something. Then laugh in your head. We must learn to preach to ourselves if we are to get there. Amen, ladies. Now, the lover. The lady is now a complete human being. She is whole. She may have problems, but her identity is settled and in Christ. And therefore, she is now having to relate to somebody else. Lady Reverend, how do I choose the one I want to marry, flow with the one I want to marry, and as the young lady said, do my part as a wife? Because sometimes you may be a good wife, but the other person you have gone to take may not have glasses to see what's good. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians, the lover. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, popular verse. Verse 14. And you see, at this young age, you must spend your time meditating on scripture. When Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But most of you, you would have said, hey, he saw my need, by God, he has sent a very good idea that I should turn these stones into bread. For when you are hungry, what do you seek but only bread? Even he said in the Lord's Prayer that give us this day our daily bread. He's so wise. But Jesus knew the word. He said, it is written. He didn't say, pastor said. He didn't say, they said on the radio. He has studied it for himself. The Bible says the word of God is the sword of the spirit. When things are coming against you, it's not the African proverb that will help you. So when you are standing by the river, that's when you hear the crab cough. Oh, yeah, Nuna, you're the fighting battles in this life. You fight with the sword of the spirit, just like Jesus did. He took it out and said, shh, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If he didn't know the word or have a store of it in him, what would he have done? Young lady, young man, this is the time to get into God's word, to start to make an investment, to have a bank of God's word in your life. Amen? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the Bible has described two opposites. He says, first of all, do not be unequally with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? You are righteousness, not by what you have done. But 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. So the righteousness is just imputed to you just because you accepted Jesus. Now the Bible is saying here that what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So when you marry somebody who is not a believer in the things of God, you have gone to bring unrighteousness into your home. Look, I'm a pastor and I've been a pastor for many years. I have preached this. I've sat in people's homes. I've pleaded with them. Obey God's word for your own sake. Do what God's word says. Marry a man who is God-fearing, not somebody who has no referee in his life. When he's doing something, nobody can speak to him, not even the Holy Spirit. Oh no, Lady Reverend, he came to church. He gave his life to Christ. The Bible didn't say as many as come to the altar. It says as many by their fruits. Their fruits, you know them. And after they have married, the same people will come to me for counseling. Oh, Lady Reverend, what can you tell? Tell the young women. Tell the young women to take their time and to choose with God's help, not what they want, Lady Reverend. I said, but you too. I sent many people to you. I spoke to you. Some of them, I even go and bring somebody who is a crier about these things. I say, talk to her. And the person has told them, no. She has seen BMW. She has seen car keys. She has seen a smart suit. Her suit is smart. They're just going along. Unrighteousness with unrighteousness. Righteousness. And then what fellowship has light with darkness? You are light because Jesus lives in you. You have gone to bring darkness. So when you marry somebody who does not believe in God, you have brought unrighteousness. And secondly, you have brought darkness. Why would you like to start life on the note of darkness when there is light to be embraced? Because you are in a hurry. The heartache that you will go through. You see, even men who are light have feet of clay. They are also men. How much more darkness? Amen? She talks about righteousness and unrighteousness. Darkness, light with darkness. And then let's go on. What concord or agreement has Christ with Belial? You have gone to bring the devil himself, Belial, into your marriage. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness, and then Christ? Christ. When you choose a believer, you have chosen Christ. When you choose an unbeliever, you have chosen Belial. It is not the gospel according to Lady Reverend. It's the gospel according to God. What concord, agreement does Christ have with Belial, the head of demons? The person may look nice. He may be even morally more upright. He may be whatever, but if he doesn't know Christ, he's none of his. Amen, ladies? And you allow emotions to lead you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not as many as are led by their emotions. Oh, when I see him, I get goosebumps. That's why you are not thinking right. It's not by goosebumps. The Word of God is a light so that we will not walk in darkness. Amen. So these Griffith brothers, Lady Reverend, they are boring. They are boring. But when I meet this unbeliever, yay, the raps. He has raps because he has practiced on many girls. The Kife brother, he's naive. He doesn't even know what to say. I've said this many times. A friend of mine was choosing beloved. And as young as we were even Christians. One of them, who was a prospective beloved, he came to visit her. Ah, when he came, her mother was outside doing some gardening. No, he offered that he will help the mother. Took off his shirt and adoya. So then my friend called me that, oh, but what is this? He has come here, he's with. I said, oh, disqualify. What are we doing to? When you are young, you make foolish mistakes. And I laughed on the phone. I said, ah, he's not cool, gra. You've come somewhere, you are rapping the girl. No, at the garden, you muna dozens. What is that? And now when I look back, that rather probably showed that he was an industrious, hard-working, selfless man. But when you are young, you don't even know what you are looking for. Oh! And then somebody who comes to tell lies, parks his car, will not even come in to greet. And when your mother says to you, you say that, that's the man, you don't know him, ma. That's why you don't know him. She knows him. Amen. Amen. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? And then the last group that he talks about, not even the last, he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? When you bring an unbeliever into your life and your mind, you have brought idols. You have brought something that has replaced God. You have brought something that is more important to you than your relationship with God. The temple of God and idols. You have gone to Akunedi Shrine and all that, and that's what you have brought into your home. A young lady came with her mother to my office not long ago, crying, Lady Reverend, I made a mistake. I said, usually most people, their marriage will last for a while, you see, before it starts crumbling. Now, who's this? Only 1 year, po. And she said, I said, are you? The pastor who counseled you, he told me that he told you, don't go into this marriage. This person doesn't know the Lord at all. Don't go into this marriage. You went. He counseled you from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4, pleading with you. Obey God's word. You didn't. Now you've come. What can I say? I have to have compassion. Lady Reverend, he makes juju every night. Every night. And then on the honeymoon night, I saw that he has cut his body and he puts things in the body. And then when I went to wash his clothes, he has written so many names in red. He has tied it and hidden it behind the wardrobe. And then when the child, our first child, fell sick, he said that we don't go to hospitals, we go to Malams. Lady Reverend, I can't cope. I said, what fellowship has Christ with Belial? Why did you carry Belial into your bedroom? Why did you carry Belial into your financial life? Because she told me, you see, because I work in a financial institution, he was on me. So now I took a mortgage in our names. And now I owe, and we live in the house. Belial has come into your finances as well. For marriage indeed permeates every area of your life. What fellowship has the temple of God with Belial? You are the temple of God because Christ dwells in you. You have gone to bring Belial. The devil is your father-in-law. The devil is your father-in-law. Why, when you are choosing, choose well. Be not be unequally yoked. Unequal yoke means you are carrying a burden, but it's slanted. It's unequal. Someone loves God. Someone just pays lip service. Someone wants to go all out. Someone wants to go halfway. Someone wants to go to light. Somebody else says darkness. So you are walking half and half, and the whole yoke is broken. The young girls of today, you are too led by material things. When my husband was coming to full-time ministry, his parents were upset. And they said to me, my mother-in-law asked me, how do you feel thinking you were going to marry a doctor who has now become a pastor, and even his church, we don't know the number of members in it. My father-in-law said, how can you embarrass us so much? He kept calling me every dawn. Have you thought about your future? Have you thought about the fact that nothing may work? Have you thought about it? I want my son to go to Cambridge to do surgery. He brought the phones, and you are going to be the Queen's counselor. He brought me papers, QC, England. Oh, I should fill the form. And I said, Daddy, I think that if this is what he believes, that God has called him, and he has to obey, I think we just all have to pray for him and support him and trust God that it will be well. And the father said, really? You people, because you stay in my house, you don't pay electricity, you don't pay water. That's why you say you are going to do ministry. You think life is easy. I am giving you notice now. You leave the house. It was his way of making us say, oh, okay, we give up, you know, we won't really do what we think God has called us. We said, Daddy, with all due respect, we have to do. So that we ended up in an uncompleted house. A house with no windows. Sand on the floor. But we had a big God, and that was enough. In fact, when I look back, I don't know why. We didn't even have a prayer topic that God prosper us, lift us up, yeah, and kese, nothing like that. We were so happy and at peace. Not any wild confession of faith that, Lord, as Jehovah has brought us here, he would take us. Nothing like that. We just lived our lives, normal. I think that what God does is that when he says that, seek ye first his kingdom, and all other things shall be added, he just adds to you. Amen. When I had my first child, I could not afford baby milk. I could not afford baby milk. But all that we had was our God, and he brought us through. But if I had looked at where my husband was standing at the time and what his destiny looked like, we would not be here today. So marriage is also a thing of faith. Faith in God. Amen. All that Adam and Eve had in common was a job. Once the two of you have a job, it's going to work. Amen. It's not everything that has to be already made before you say, I do. But you need the fear of God. You need to have the fear of God. And also the Bible says, can any two walk except they be agreed? So it's not only not unequally yoked, but you have to be agreed. What is the person's vision? What is the person's values? What does the person believe? We are all Christians, but we may have different values. We all come from different backgrounds, different values, different places that we are going to. Some people ask me, Lady Reverend, what about tribal differences? Some people are so tribal, it's greater than their Christianity. And in that case, you have to look at it. Whether you like it or not is the reality of life. Amen? Amen? Some people are so tribal, they'll sacrifice you on any altar for their tribe. And when it's like that, you have to open your eyes and say, look, I can't go here because the tribal thing is too strong. Especially if you are the woman and you are going to suffer for it. Amen? Okay, so can any two walk? You may be Christians, but you may not be agreed. Sometimes, for instance, if you want to be in the ministry, why do you go and take a woman who doesn't like the ministry at all? She finds it very difficult. In fact, she hates it. Why? If you can see. Some things you can't see. But if you can see, well, why do you go that way? Why? Why do you bring complications? Where are you going in terms of vision? Do you have die vision, two different visions, or you have the same vision? How about the man? Does he believe in the progress of a woman? Or he feels that a woman is nothing. You know, some men don't respect women at all. You are nothing. When we are talking, you don't talk. You don't have anything sensible to add. You can see it from your general conversation with the person. So you will see whether the two are agreed. And some of you, before you even marry, the person is always lying to you. The person is always unfaithful to you, but he says he's in the church. And instead of opening your eyes and seeing those, I say, when he marries me, he will change. When he marries you, he will get worse times 100. Because he has already received the prize. Amen. Amen. And so you have to look and say that, do we have similar interests? When we are together, is there anything to talk about? Because after that, I love you, I love you, I love you. Marriage is also friendship. You will sit down and you will chat. Do you see? And sometimes maybe you are chatting with your husband. You may be different academically. Sometimes, depending on the temperament of a man, you can still go ahead and marry. But sometimes some men have such a strong inferiority complex. And you have gone to make yourself so educated. You know, so when you come home, he is talking about what? Sofu Dazi or something. And then you are talking about bonds, stocks, NASDAQ. The FTSE today was not saying, hey, you don't respect, eh? Every time you come home, you want to show that you are the, eh? You don't respect, eh? So you may not be able to work together because you are not agreed. You are not friends. You go and marry a woman, when you say Iraq, she said, eh, is it a type of food, Iraq? She has not heard it before. She does not know current affairs. She does not know. Yes, and sometimes you have married a person who does not know much, but it's teachable. That's different. Some people are teachable and open, and they can come along. You understand? Nobody's already made. But some people will not yield, are not willing to learn anything new, and they are as they are. Some people, when they sit together, apart from I love you, I love you, they are not friends. But you have to marry your friend, though. You have to marry your friend, because as you come home to a friend. Somebody, and brothers, if you know that you won't talk to us, leave us in our mother's house, because when we were there, they used to chat with us, okay? Now that you have brought us, you have taken me from my mother's house, my sisters, my cousins, all the people I used to play with, you have brought me here, and you have become Imu Mpacho. Can any two walk except they be agreed? Maybe you have some spiritual goals. You marry somebody who will pull you back. You marry somebody who will draw you back. Why? You can see the signs. Can any two walk except they be agreed? Choose a partner who fears God, because it's not your beauty that's going to keep the partner. Can't you see that Miss Ghana, every day the beauty person changes. Miss Malaika, it changes. And you yourself as a human being, you may change. So brothers, fall in love with the content, not the package. Because she may be size 6 today. But when she gives birth for you, she may become size 22. See, look at her, how she has become. If you hadn't impregnated her, she would never have become that size. And don't talk too much, because you, when you get to 40, won't hold her and sue your stomach. You have not kept a baby in your stomach for 9 months, but you are bigger than the woman who has taken a baby for middle age spread. So take your time, please. Because you are also going to develop motorway and all this, and she's going to love you just the way you are. Marriage is not a 100-meter dash. It's a long journey. It's for the long haul. And it's for always. And it goes through different seasons. Just like you go through different seasons yourself. Marriage also goes through different seasons. It's not only about passion. Sometimes you have high passion. Sometimes zero. Sometimes it's all part of it. Because it's a lifetime journey. And you came to say, for better, for worse. So where's the nimwa? And can you even share vows? And some of you have watched so many movies that you don't live a practical life. I was telling the people in tech, you watch these movies, and the girl has come in a train, and then the boy is on the platform seeing her off, and it's raining on the window pane, and the girl is saying bye-bye, bye-bye. And the whistle blows, and the train is going, and the boy is running along. Maya! Oh, Maya! So when Akwesi comes to visit you, you are expecting trains, tears, and rain. So you have based your life on storybook experiences. And therefore, we have unrealistic expectations in our marriage. The men have also gone to watch even sometimes things they shouldn't watch. And they say, oh, when I marry, my wife will do this. She will do stuff. She will do that. Girl has been paid to act. It's not her real life. But for your wife, it's her real life. So we have gone to bring expectations from storybooks. You know, when I was growing up, Mills and Boone, that was the book. That was there. And when you read it, and when she called her deep, husky voice, ooh, that's the only quality I'm looking for in a man. A deep, husky voice. Tell me how that contributes to a successful marriage. The storybooks you have read, the movies you have watched. And these days, you people, you watch movies on your computers. You are worse than any generation that lived. And when the boy is giving raps, you know, I love you like the only emerald on the sea. What are they? Oh, this is love. This is love. And the person saying is Arnold Schwarzenegger. He has learned the lines. He has come to act it. So then when poor Akwesi comes, when he raps, he has never said that he loves me like the emerald. He has never. Do not have unrealistic expectations. That is what leads to disappointment in marriage. That's what leads to a strain on your partner to become something that does not exist. Marriage is made of two imperfect people. Not perfect. Amen. If you are marrying because you feel that this person will never disappoint you, then don't marry, because you will disappoint him and he will also disappoint you. As for that, it's a prophecy I'm giving you. Amen. We are not told that marriage entails love, the God kind of love, not the platform type of love. Amen? And the God kind of love, when you read 1 Corinthians 30, the first thing that it says, love suffers. Hey, I never knew. Did you know that love suffers? You read it, but you think that as for you and Akwesi, your own, there's no suffering in it. But the Bible never minces words. You will suffer for love. And the reason why you suffer is anything that you hold dear, when the person does something to you, it's more painful than any other person. So if you are going to marry because you don't want to suffer, then forget it. It's not for you. Because love suffers. Your husband can do things, and you too, you can do things to your husband, it will not be easy for him. But that's love. And the Bible doesn't tell us lies like the storybooks. And it doesn't only say love suffers, it says it suffers long. Hey, if it were to suffer for a season, it's fine. Suffer for a while, it's fine. But love suffers long. If you are not prepared to suffer long, your marriage is not going to be successful. It's not that you choose the suffering, but it comes to you. Sometimes it's not even from your mate, but your mate is also from a family. Some people have terrible in-law experiences. Some people. Just because they have come to join themselves to this man. So, love suffers. Some people have stepchildren or stepmothers. Love suffers. And it suffers long. So tune your mind from that platform, train, Valentine's Day. It's an event, but it's not a lifestyle. Amen. Amen. And come down to earth where we are and live the life properly and believe the Bible that love suffers long. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, nobody undertakes a venture without sitting down and counting the cost. You have to sit down and count the cost and see, am I prepared to be a fool sometimes? Am I prepared to suffer sometimes? Am I prepared to forgive all the time? Then are you prepared for marriage? Finally, Jeremiah 13, verse 23 on her lover, and then I'll just round up. I've spoken about the Lord in many ways, isn't it, from the beginning? Okay. But Jeremiah 13, verse 23. When you are getting married or choosing a partner, or you are even married, do not take upon yourself the role of God. Okay? And do not super imagine what marriage is about. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Amen. It says that the Ethiopian cannot change his skin. The leopard cannot change his spots. When you are going to get married, have it at the back of your mind that you are going to marry a vessel of clay. For the Bible says, for we have this treasure in clay, earthen vessels, that the excellency of his power shall be of God and not of us. So if you think you are going to marry an angel, then it's not marriage. You are going to marry the Holy Spirit, then it's not marriage. Whether you marry a cardinal, a pope, a bishop, the person is basically a man. And every leopard has spots, and you cannot change it. As you are not perfect, the woman and the man coming into your life is also not going to be perfect. My husband says everybody has a left leg. Everybody has a left leg. And sometimes we marry thinking that the person is perfect. And then when we have problems in the marriage, we decide that we will take upon ourselves the role of the Holy Spirit to change things. But you cannot change the Ethiopian, nor change the leopard, and say, leopard, now I'm going to remove all your spots. You will not finish till Jesus comes. So the key of acceptance is one of the greatest keys to a successful marriage. Accept that you are marrying somebody with feet of clay. Accept that you yourself have your own faults also. Accept that the person will never be perfect. And accept that you are marrying imperfection and you are also bringing imperfection. So imperfection squared is not easy. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We don't even have to try to make mistakes. Do you understand? When I look at my life, I say, sometimes maybe I'm dialing a number. You dial the wrong number. You don't have to make an attempt to. It just happens. And that's why there's an eraser in life. Because you always write things you don't intend to write. That shows your imperfection. Thank God for liver brothers and all that, because we are in a degenerative state from the fall of man. When you sleep, you just wake up, you just smell, you stink. If there was no deodorant and no toothpaste, erade. You don't have to do anything. It's just your natural self. So man naturally stinks. Man naturally has a fallen nature. And it's just the grace of God that helps us along the way. Amen. Amen. But ask yourself, this mistake and weakness I see, can I live with it? Don't base your choice on the fact that it will change. There's nothing like that. Whatever you see that you don't like, times 1,000 in the marriage. Somebody said to me, my husband, he likes to wash his mouth in the kitchen sink. I've tried to change him, it has not changed. And she said, even what hurts me is that my children have started doing it. When I say, they say, but daddy does it. And she said, I saw it before we got married, but I thought he would change. So she kept telling him, go to the bathroom now. There's a sink in the bathroom. Why don't you, whatever. Then when she went to his house, she saw that that's their practice. He has lived with it for 30 years. Some may change, but change is not easy for some people. So when you see it, don't say that, when we marry, he will stop spitting in the sink. As you are caught, he has not stopped. Why do you think he's going to stop? He has a very wild temper. And you say, when we marry, he will cool down. How will he cool down? Ask yourself, can I live with this temper? And if you can't, sister, check out before it's too late. But as you check out, let me also tell you, you'll be checking out a lot of things. This one is too quiet. This one talks too much. This one shouts too much. This one... Amen. And we are all made by different temperaments by God. I can't go into temperaments, but I preached about all that. Temperaments are like the color of your skin, the color of your hair. You come with it. There are four basic temperaments: choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, and sanguine. Everybody has a primary one and a secondary one. You come with it. And usually opposites attract. Those who don't like talking and are reserved, they go and take loud people who like joy. Hey, chale how? And those same people, when they go home, I'm going to throw money around. And the person who is quiet also likes to put a ruler and gather everything. So when you marry, then it becomes a problem. Why do you always throw your things away? You are too starchy. And you are you're also too disorderly. But it says opposites attract. And then when they marry, they attack. Acceptance. Can you accept the person as he is? And even people also change. Can you accept his changing life also? You have to have a place that I accept that this area of your life that I see now, I don't like it. But I accept that I'm not the Holy Ghost. I've talked to you and you are not changing. And I don't think you will change now. So I will work on the premise that this is how you are. And allow the Holy Spirit in his own good time to change you. Even you. Look at how God has been struggling to change you. You. How much more another human being? Amen? Can the leopard change his spots? So you cannot change a person. Amen. And then finally, I think I hope I've given some valuable things on the lover. But acceptance for me is the key. If you ask me, the key to a successful marriage is acceptance. And acceptance is where the suffering is. Because can you imagine, you finish cooking, everything, somebody comes and washes his mouth. It's not easy. And the person doesn't change. He does not change. You talk, he does not change. What are you going to do? Are you going to get worked up? Then later you say you insulted him. But you suffer. That's the suffering. Love suffers. Suffers long. Some of you are getting married. You can see that the person is not generous at all. I'm strong. Hey. I'm strong. Whenever you go out anywhere, he never offers to pay for anything. Some people don't have, but you can see that the little they have, they always want to share it with you. It's a sign. So when God shows you those road marks and those signs, don't say, it doesn't exist. As he has met me, Princess Cinderella, all things have become new. There's nothing like that. So as you are study him properly. Some people, you can see that they are very stubborn. When they say we should do this, it's also a part of a temperament. They want to do this. She's a woman, but she's very stubborn. And then you say, oh, when I marry her, I will control her. If you can't control her now, it's not marriage that's going to bring control. Amen?
Amen.
And so accept the weaknesses and ask yourself, can I live with it? If you can't, please write another application, send your CV somewhere else. Amen.
Amen.
And finally, Luke chapter 4. John chapter 4, sorry. Did I say John? Yes, it's John, but I have gone to Luke. Mercy. John chapter 4. Verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you had only known and had recognized God's gift, and who this is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water. And then the woman goes on and asks him so many things. And then verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty nor have to come continually all the way here to draw. Then Jesus says to her, go and call your husband. Verse 17, I have no husband. You have spoken truly in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly. Amen. The Lord is the living water. And unless you drink from that living water, you will always be thirsty. The Lord is the one who is the foundation of our lives. The Bible says there's only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And no other foundation can any man lay, in the book of Timothy. And Jesus says to the woman, if you knew who it was who was asking you for water, you would rather have asked for living water so that you will not go thirsty again. And after all the long discourse, the woman comes to that place and says, sir, give me this water. She's thinking physically, so that I don't come here to draw water anymore. Ladies, no matter what you have in life, no matter how many relationships you go through, you will never be satisfied unless you have a personal relationship with God. And a personal relationship does start by giving your life to Christ, but it doesn't end there. Unless you develop an intimacy in his word, unless you develop your prayer life, unless you develop your life of fellowship, coming to church, meeting with God's people, allowing God's word to come into your life, going to seek God's word yourself. We seek so many things, but we don't seek to grow in the things of God. I have been able to grow on God's word because from the university, my husband started to give me messages preached by men of God. That was the first time. I never knew anything like that existed. At that time, we had tapes, and the tape, you play until it gets finished. Ghana was not like it is today. You go to the town and you just buy a system. There was nothing like that. The 2x4 that you have, that means that you are very rich. And those tapes, listening to them, something comes into you because faith comes by hearing. You build your life by opening yourself to the word of God all the time. I listened to Dr. Frederick Casey Price in America so much that my roommate and I, when we put in the tape, then we start to say the beginning. We don't say that, let's say, but it has played in our room so much that as soon as I say, welcome to ever-increasing faith. Remember these words from the book of Romans chapter 10 and then 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we will laugh. That was our. We could preach the word to you. We were not listening to go and preach you. We were listening so that our lives would be affected. And my life was greatly impacted just by listening to the message. You become stronger. You receive more light. And your heart becomes full of God's word. So when you meet people, you don't now have to say, oh, as I've met this person, I have to look very spiritual. So this and that. No. When you talk naturally, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it will just come forth. And then as you go on life's journey, you see, sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel like not being in the ministry. Sometimes I feel that, oh God, but I came to serve you and look at all the roadblocks you have put in my way. Do you understand? But a word will stir up in you. God will say, but I called you from your mother's womb before you were created. Jeremiah 1:5. It's not now that I'm calling you. So when you stand before me, what will you say? Sometimes when I have trials and I remember the book of Revelation, it says that, be thou faithful unto death, not unto 5 years, unto 10 years, unto 50 years, but unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So I say, oh God, this is unto death. Strengthen me. Amen. When I read, it says that one of the verses I've been praying about lately is, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I said, Lord, I need the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove to make it in this life. But if you don't have any word, when the devil comes knocking at your door, your husband has gone for crusade. You don't have any answers. Your child's temperature is running high. Sometimes I have a child who has been sick, and then when I go, they give me the wildest of diagnoses. My husband is a doctor, yes, but he's not there. But Jesus is there. You cannot base your life on a man, because no matter how good he is limited and he can't always be there. This whole half of the year, my husband has been in Liberia, 10 cities or 7 cities. Guinea-Bissau, Kindia, Kakata, Banga. I know all these because he has been there. I'm alone in my house with my children. When trials come, sometimes there's not even no reception to where he is. There's no light, there's no water, and there's no reception. He even told me one of the towns, when they were bathing, when they put the water, then worms and things are passing around. Except God sent you. What is a doctor doing? And a half-caste doctor at that, at the backside of it. So you are tempted to be anxious about that. And then also, you are having things in the house to deal with. You are calling him. There's no reception. There's no light. There's no whatever. But you can call on Jesus. He's always there. There's never a time when he's in a place that is without reception. There's never he's in a place where he didn't charge his phone and his battery has run dry. He says, and call upon me and I will answer. There are times with a heavy heart. I've just gone to Ebre and other places. On my own, I just feel so alone, so burdened. I don't know where to turn. And I've just gone to Hephzibah. And I said, Lord, I need to meet with you. There are times I've prayed. I went to pray, but I didn't have the mind to stay for so long. But the burden, by the time I looked out, I started in the night. By the time I looked out, it was 6 a.m. in the morning. Not because I planned it that way. Not because I'm some wild Joshua sister. But because the burden was too much. And he came through. He came through. It may be after many days, but he still comes through. But if you will not build your relationship with God, how? How can you handle life alone? How can you handle life on your own? It's not about joining groups. It's not about being in the church. It's about knowing God for yourself. For the Bible says, the people that know their God shall walk strong and they shall do exploits. Not the people that warm the pews. You need to cultivate your walk with God. Because that living water can quench every thirst. You cannot expect a man to meet all your needs, ladies. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. That's why Esther, she had gone to the palace, she had become a queen, whatever. But she said that, Mordecai, this request that you have brought, 30 days in here, we are in the same house. The man has not called me nor spoken to me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you marry and your whole life is this man and he's supposed to meet all your needs and for 30 days he has not spoken to you, are you going to go to the mental hospital? You are going to find your joy in the Lord. You are going to find strength in the Lord and in the people God brings into your life. God gives us people so that they can stand with us. We need each other. Amen? Ruth needed Naomi and Naomi needed Ruth. Elizabeth needed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. We need each other also. You need to build your relationship with God. Invest in spiritual things. Da wuto weave on. Da wuto jewelry. Da wuto makeup. That lip gloss that is overdone. Even the thing on a chanson. It won't take you anywhere. Put first things first. Yes, look good, but put first things first. When I look in your bag, there's nothing spiritual in it. Nothing. Trapia, lipstick, lip gloss, and some fashion magazines. There's nothing spiritual. Not even a small booklet that Jesus will see. Nothing like that. When I look in your wardrobe and in your bedroom, there's nothing spiritual there. Everything is carnal. Don't build on sand. Build on the rock. For the same storms comes to those who build on the rock. And the same storms come to those who build on the sand. The difference is the foundation. Let your foundation be Christ. The lady, her lover, and her Lord. God bless you. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. I believe that we should put first things first. It's not about church. It's not about being even in a church group. It's about making Jesus the anchor of your soul. I want you to pray and say, Lord, from today, I want to mean business with you. I want to be a spiritual person, not carnal, always living in Iso, Bibia Wenyuado, but nothing is deep. I want to go deeper. I want to be a spiritual woman, a spiritual man. I want to know you and I want to love you. And I want my walk with you to be close. Speak to God. Speak to God. Nearer, my God, to me. Worship choir, please help me. Nearer to
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.